Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. President Trump this evening returns to the campaign trail for the first time since his coronavirus diagnosis 2 weeks ago. The White House physician says the president has tested negative on consecutive days and is not contagious. The GOP-controlled Senate Judiciary Committee got to work on one of the president's key agenda items, filling the Supreme Court seat left vacant by the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. NPR's Nina Totenberg tells us how Democrats weighed in on the first day of confirmation hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett.
They basically said three things. The first was that the whole process of this confirmation was unprecedented and an exercise in hypocrisy that contradicted the principle that Republican leader Mitch McConnell laid down 4 years ago when Obama was president, namely that no Supreme Court nominee should be considered in an election year. The second point they wanted to get across was Obamacare and how Barrett could be the deciding vote to strike down the law, which is being challenged in the Supreme Court for the third time the week after the election. And the third point was that the Senate should be passing a COVID relief bill instead of this.
NPR's Nina Totenberg. The nation's largest hospital chain says it's profitable again and returning $6 billion in pandemic relief. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN reports.
Some of the money HCA received had to be paid back anyway, though not until next year, and some likely didn't need to be repaid at all. But CEO Sam Hazen says revenues from elective procedures have rebounded to a point where HCA won't need the additional government funding.
We believe returning these taxpayer dollars early is appropriate and the socially responsible thing to do.
HCA was featured in a New York Times article in June for taking more bailout money than any other hospital system in the country. The company has avoided layoffs and furloughs, but it did cut the pay of employees who don't work in hospitals. Last month, some of those pay cuts were restored. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
A federal judge in Minnesota has rejected a challenge to state plans to count late arriving ballots. Details from Tim Nelson of Minnesota Public Radio.
State elections officials have said they will accept ballots postmarked by Election Day for an additional 7 days. That was part of a separate consent decree reached in state court to accommodate voters during the COVID-19 pandemic. A Republican state representative and a party activist, both potential presidential electors for Minnesota, filed a federal challenge to that deal last month, saying Secretary of State Steve Simon didn't have the right to accept late ballots. But U.S. District Court Judge Nancy Brazel ruled the plaintiffs didn't have standing to challenge the state court consent decree. The plaintiffs say they'll appeal her ruling to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. For NPR News, I'm Tim Nelson in St. Paul.
The S&P 500 up 57. This is NPR. The UN reports a dramatic rise in climate-related natural disasters over the past 20 years. Lisa Schlein reports the number of global disasters, including floods and storms, has nearly doubled over the previous two decades between 1980 and 1999.
Over the last two decades, more than 1.2 million people have lost their lives in more than 7,300 major disasters at a cost of nearly $3 trillion in global economic losses. Head of UN Disaster Risk Reduction, Mamie Muzutori, says more needs to be done to mitigate disaster risk.
The good news is that more lives have been saved, but the bad news is that more people are being affected by the expanding climate emergency.
The report finds 8 of the top 10 disaster-hit countries are in Asia. China is the country with the highest number of events, followed by the United States, India, the Philippines, and Indonesia. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
The coronavirus pandemic has taken a big bite out of the airline industry, but today Southwest Airlines announced expansion plans for next year with intentions to add flights to Houston George Bush Intercontinental Airport and O'Hare Airport in Chicago. Southwest will go head-to-head against United and American, which are both much bigger by revenue, but Southwest has not been as reliant as competitors on business travel, which has bottomed out since quarantines and lockdowns have been declared around the world. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.